Well, we've all heard about the Supreme Court's massive decision regarding Obamacare. What are the implications for believers? We're about to find out live right here on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it is July 4th. And I am coming your way live today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks for joining me. We're going to have a great broadcast, got a great guest. In fact, we'll have some fireworks right here over the air. Well, a different kind of fireworks, but you get my drift. We're also taking calls today. So if you have a question for me or for my guest, Pat Mahoney, Reverend Pat Mahoney, whom I'll be introducing in a moment, here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884, or you can weigh in on our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Before I bring on my guest, a big thank you again to all those who have responded to our appeal to be standing with us, to be helping us meet our current obligations and helping us expand, to get into new cities. Thank you. Thank you. We do not have our team taking calls today because they're off for the holiday, but you can stand with us as always through our website, askdrbrown.org. And I came in the office today. It's kind of quiet in here in the building. And there's a stack of books that we send out as a surprise gift to our new torchbearers ready for me to sign. That just warms my heart to see so many of you standing with us. If you're just tuning in, this broadcast is designed to be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, or put another way, a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. And Wednesday is normally our day when we focus on the world, on moral and cultural issues. The massive surprise ruling of the Supreme Court last week on Obamacare was such that I wanted to step back for a couple of days and then bring on a guest who has much more expertise in these things than I do. There are areas I can speak with some authority and a lot of clarity based on 40-plus years of following the Lord and being in His service. But there are other areas where I feel ill-equipped to do so, and that's why I've asked my dear friend, Pat Mahoney, to join us. Reverend Pat Mahoney, I understand that we're talking to you by cell phone. Is that because you're in jail somewhere for the gospel?
I wish. At least there'd be some air conditioning there. Although here in Washington, D.C., we are thankful, Katie and I, that our power has remained on. But I find it fascinating, and I don't think we want to go down this rabbit trail, but it's just interesting. The day after the Supreme Court decision, massive storms hit our nation's capital, and over 2 million people went without power. But no, I'm just traveling around. By the way, happy 4th, Mike, to you and the family and to all your listeners as we celebrate the wonderful freedoms and liberties we enjoy as Americans today. Let us never forget the price that was paid to purchase our freedom as a nation and the price that Christ paid to purchase our freedom of us.
Yeah, and Pat, just lost you there for a second. I don't know if you're abducted by aliens or anything like that, because that's always a threat when we have high-level guests on. Are you still there, Pat?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Hey, we've got 20 seconds before our first break, but I just want to bring you on. Tell our listeners very quickly what your organization name is and the website.
Sure. It's Christian Defense Coalition and ChristianDefenseCoalition.com. People can go check that out.
All right. And Pat has been on the front lines in D.C. dealing with many relevant righteousness issues for years. In fact, around the world, and in fact, in countries like Iraq and possibly even Iran, standing for righteousness. I want to discuss a couple things with Pat first when we come back. And then the question of the Supreme Court's decision. How does it affect us as believers?
Oh, God of burning, cleanse. blazing flame. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are live. Yeah, I'm sitting here right now. I'm looking at the clock, Eastern Standard Time. It's a little bit past 2:07, July 4th. I hope you're having a blessed day, a good family day, a relaxed day. We're coming your way live, number one, because I prefer to do live than pre-record it whenever I have the possibility. Number two, I thought it would be a good opportunity to have a dear friend on that was also free today to talk about some issues of national concern on the 4th of July. And some of you that don't normally get to listen live have the opportunity. So here we are, 866-34-TRUTH. My guest, Reverend Pat Mahoney of the Christian Defense Coalition. Pat, a couple things before we get into the Supreme Court decision. I've been getting emails from folks that said, did you hear the announcement that Anderson Cooper said he's gay? And of course, that's not news, and that he's been listed in as one of the most influential gay men in America for years. He just hasn't come out. Should that affect the way we look at him?
I don't really think so. I guess it would depend how we look at him. From a news position, let's say, I don't think the fact of a person's where they are in their sexuality should impact their news. As a matter of fact, I will definitely not mention on the air, but there are a number of quote unquote conservative newscasters and have news organizations who are quite popular who are also gay. That's number one. I think number two, I think it just leads us to pray for Anderson Cooper in a deeper way. We believe as Christians that God has a better path, a more fulfilling life for us, a life that is full of joy and hope. And I think that in terms of Anderson Cooper, we would want to pray that he would come into that personal relationship with Christ. But I don't think there should be any sort of like boycott or that kind of thing. I think that's sort of over the top. And I don't think, you know, by and large, Anderson Cooper, who's on CNN and has his own show, is a sort of moderate to liberal host. There are a lot of hosts who are much worse than him. And I think he runs his programs in a very professional manner. So I think that's kind of how we should approach him, making sure that he reports accurately and fairly, particularly on issues that would impact things like same-sex marriage, but then also that we would pray diligently for him.
Yeah, a couple things on that, Pat. One is, it's a reminder to us that sexuality is not the biggest issue, meaning I'm going to relate to someone as a fellow human being first. I'm not the one that's going to make that the big issue of their lives, and I don't know why others have to make it the big issue of their lives. That's the first thing. Second thing, bias was pretty evident to me anyway. In terms of reporting on these issues over the years, typical of CNN. And number three, the fact that he's a practicing homosexual reminds me that he's a lost man that needs to be saved. And that's what we have to keep before us. I just wanted to mention that because I know your perspective is always going to be Christ-like. And, you know, when it comes to boycott, that's I'm saving that for the second hour, by the way.
Oh, okay.
All right, because I'm going to talk about well, a bunch of things, and Hobby Lobby and their Christian stands, and then Microsoft and other companies actively getting behind same-sex so-called marriage in Washington State. And, you know, the whole question, Pat, if you boycott, basically we got to throw out the computer I'm using right now, probably throw out, well, there goes the air conditioning in our building because Duke Energy here is very actively supporting gay activism in our city and beyond. And anyway, another subject. Okay.
Well Mike, just quickly on that, in terms of the boycott, I think if one thinks of boycott, one should think of the most responsible institution or entity. And quite frankly, the greatest failure when it comes to marriage and same-sex marriage and culture embracing that is the fear, self-focus, apathy, and indifference of the church. So I think if it's been our failure from our pulpits to hold the high standards of God's word and what he thinks about marriage and sexuality. And there may be a time for boycotting companies under certain things. But I think the real issue there is the betrayal and indifference of the church. Those are the real ones who are culpable in the cultural failures and moral decay of America.
Right. That's the great issue. The great issue is repentance has to begin with us. Judgment begins with the house of God. If God's people were living the way we were required to, hey, look, Pat, you know, you've been on the front lines with the abortion issue longer than I have. If one-tenth, no, it's an overstatement, one-one-hundredth of professing born-again Christians in America on a regular basis got involved in front of abortion clinics and reaching out to people and standing up for what's right, these things would be shut down within a month across the country.
Absolutely. And, Mike, you could relate that to virtually every issue we're facing, mm-hmm. sex trafficking, poverty, racial injustice, the list goes on and on. So it's the call of the day is for the people of God to radically embrace the cross, to repent and say, I purpose in my heart to follow Christ no matter what the price, no matter what the cost.
All right. Let's start to focus on the issue of Obamacare and the Supreme Court decision. I'm just going to ask you a few ridiculous questions, but allow me to do so, all right? Pat Mahoney, are you a Democrat basher?
No, I'm actually a registered Democrat.
Pat Mahoney, are you a racist?
No, I am not.
I need a stronger answer than that, Pat.
Well, I know. I mean, just look at my history. As a matter of fact, we were just down in Sanford, Florida, and had a foot-washing service for racial reconciliation in response to the Trayvon Martin shooting. I've been working with George Zimmerman's attorney and African-American leaders down there. So it's kind of hard. You don't want to toot your own horn on the radio, but I think they could look at a 35-year history of my ministry and know that that's 100% not true.
All right, so I raise that just because of the ridiculous stuff that's out there, that if you disagree with the president, then you're a racist, and if you disagree with policies, you're a Democrat basher. In point of fact, the real outrage now is over a white Supreme Court justice appointed by Republicans, John Roberts. So no one can rightly make this a Democrat, Republican, black, white issue except those who have an agenda to divide. So I'm going to put that on the table so we can speak totally freely. But this is not political talk radio. This is not a conservative talk radio show. This is a Christian show. Our goal is to come with a kingdom perspective. So let's just introduce this first and take a couple minutes, Pat, and explain to our listeners why the Obamacare issue should matter to us as believers.
Sure, Mike, of course. And first of all, we won't discuss the merit of single-payer universal health care within that context. That's an interesting debate for people to have, and Christians and non-Christians can both make that point. But in all honesty, the affirming of Obamacare by a 5-4 decision affirmed principles in that legislation that is the greatest assault on religious freedom and liberty in the history of our nation. Because contained in Obamacare are HHS Health and Human Services, that's the government agency that'll oversee all of Obamacare and how it's applied with every American and every institution. In there are mandates which, for the first time in the history of America, our government is dictating to faith institutions how they are to practice and live their faith out and to violate their very core and deeply held religious convictions and beliefs. And Mike, we have never, ever seen in the history of this nation, as we celebrate our birthday today, we have never seen such an attack on religious freedom and liberty ever. And so I think for every Christian, whatever your view is on universal health care or government-controlled health care, let's put that on hold for a second, and let's look at the specific provisions in which you have the President of the United States telling people of conscience, people of faith, in this case, primarily the Catholic Church and their institutions and their organizations, that they have to provide abortion-inducing drugs, sterilization, in direct opposition to their core beliefs. And if that stands, then every Christian freedom and liberty we have is at risk. Not only that, but sandwiched in Obamacare.
All right, let me jump in. These are very, very strong statements. I believe what Pat Mahoney's saying is true. And if true, this should shake us to our boots.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Coming your way live this 4th of July with my special guest and dear friend, genuinely dear close friend, Reverend Pat Mahoney of the Christian Defense Coalition, whose primary weapon in fighting unrighteousness is prayer and seeking the face of God, and then doing what is right and engaging in acts of justice and mercy. When he points a finger, he first points it at us, at believers, at the church, or need to humble ourselves and seek God. If you have a question for Reverend Mahoney, the number to call, 866-348-7884. Also, for all those who are able to stand with us and sow into our ministry and help us meet our current obligations and expand into other cities, again, thank you for the great response so far this week, as I've shared my heart honestly and made clear that we're not going to play emotional games with you, and we're not going to get into all kinds of manipulative hype, and we're not going to call in some worldly organization to help us raise money. We're relying on God and coming to you with our needs. But we don't have our team in to take calls today, but go to our website, askdrbrown.org, to make a one-time donation or become a torchbearer, and all those standing with us, your gift of any size, my thank you, my gift of appreciation to you, will be my two-hour DVD debate with Professor Bart Ehrman on Does the Bible Provide an Adequate Answer to the Problem of Suffering? All right, Pat, again, thanks for taking time out on the 4th of July to be with us. Could you please...
Oh, my pleasure. And listen, to your listeners, to show you how much I believe in the ministry and organization of Dr. Brown, our children are our most precious resource. We entrusted our youngest daughter to graduate from Fire School of Ministry, the school that Dr. Brown started, and she's in full-time ministry with her husband now here in the D.C. area, actually helps us out. And in Washington, D.C., people listening to this program have come out, stood with us, helped. So it is bearing fruit, and I would encourage anyone who could give, who's wondering with the vast sort of smorgasbord of ministries out there, which one should I give or which one should I focus on? I will give you a 100% support to this radio program and the fine work of Dr. Brown.
Hey, Pat, thanks. That was unsolicited, but much appreciated. And it was a joy to have
you. Am I getting a kickback for that? What?
Pat, you remember the host of this broadcast is Jewish, yes?
Yes, that's true.
No, man, look, that means I have spiritual savvy. So if you got an earthly kickback, then you would lose your heavenly reward. And for
That's true.
A trillion billion years, you'd be coming up to me in the world to come saying, come on, Mike, why did I lose? I could have had more reward up here. So I'm jealous for you, man. All right.
Yeah.
We're having fun. We're laughing. There's got to be a little lightheartedness in the midst of things, because there's a lot of intense stuff going on in the society. And I just want you to repeat for our listeners the dogmatic statement that you made about how serious a threat this is, Obamacare. Again, this is regardless of whether someone believes there should be universal health care and whatever, but the specific provisions of it, explain once more, it's important to repeat this, why you believe this is the greatest threat to religious freedom in the history of our nation.
Mike, in the HHS provisions as part of Obamacare, you have this president and this administration ordering to a certain faith tradition. It just happens to be Catholic, but that's irrelevant. But you are having the government, for the first time ever, ordering a Christian religion how they are to live their faith, how they are to express their faith, and also ordering them to violate their most deeply held core values and beliefs in spite of a 2,000-year tradition. Mike, we have never, I repeat, never, and I have to be very careful, because one thing that undermines Christian ministry is hyperbole, whether we are exaggerating the size of meetings, the amount of salvations, the kinds of healings we're seeing, or the political danger to something. Hyperbole and hype, and I appreciate what you said earlier, is never a good thing. It's never a positive thing, and I think it undermines what we're trying to accomplish and certainly breaks the heart of God. But we have never seen our government come in and tell, and in this case, the largest Christian denomination in the world, how they are to live their faith. If this stands, if this provision of Obamacare stands, then religious freedom and in America and religious liberty in America is dead, and we are paving the way, if by our silence, by our indifference, by our lack of passionately being a prophetic witness and thundering against this provision, we are paving the way for the loss of religious freedom in America. There's no other way to put this. And my heart is so fearful and trembling over this fact. And in response, we are putting together an event your listeners can go. It's Acts 5, spelling 5 out, Acts 5:29. Acts 5:29. We must obey God rather than man. It's kind of cool. On 5 p.m. on September 29th, that's 5:29, we're having 72 hours of continuous prayer and prophetic witness at the White House and until October 2nd. And we are going to have people go risk arrest in front of the White House. For those who don't feel called to that, pray in front of the White House. But we, like Esther warning the king, like John the Baptist confronting Herod, and like the apostles saying, we must obey God rather than man. We cannot allow the government to crush religious freedom and religious liberty through Obamacare. And this doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. As a matter of fact, it transcends all religious divides. And some people who are supportive of the president's health care are deeply troubled with this provision. And I'm just, you know, Mike, people said to me that they would speak up and get involved when the government told them how they are to live their faith. In other words, Obamacare on one level is worse than Roe v. Wade, because in Roe v. Wade, although the preborn child has no choice, the woman has a choice. There's no mandates, there's no commands, there's no coercion. Obamacare is a step beyond that. We are now being forced. We haven't even gotten to the subsidizing of abortion and the dollar surcharge abortion tax that's hidden within Obamacare. But now in the 40 years since Roe v. Wade, the government has gone from allowing a choice, quote unquote, to now forcing and mandating American citizens to be involved. And we have to say, now is the time. No further. A line in the sand must be drawn. If we do not speak up on this, Mike, you always make the wonderful point of Richard Wurmbrand, who started Voice of the Martyrs, the pastor.
Tell you what, we'll come back to that. All right. You were on a roll, and I didn't want to interrupt. We've got to break. Those that will be signing out now, remember, all the shows are archived on our website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on the line of fire. It's possible. There could be a delay until tomorrow because of the holiday with getting things up. But you want to hear every word of what Pat Mahoney has to say. For all those staying with us, I want to raise the question, what happened to Justice Roberts?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us live. That's right, live, L-I-V-E, on July 4th. Those that are listening for the first time because of a different schedule, welcome to the Line of Fire, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Those who are regular listeners and getting to tune in maybe a little bit more today, so glad to have you with us. And I thought it'd be appropriate on July 4th to have a discussion about the implications for believers of Obamacare and the Supreme Court decision. That's our big issue. It's not a political discussion primarily, although there are politics involved. This has nothing to do with whether you're on the Democrat or Republican side. This has to do with righteousness. This has to do with religious freedoms. My guest, Reverend Pat Mahoney, the director of the Christian Defense Coalition, who is on the front lines of righteousness. He is a peacemaker. He does work behind the scenes in very hostile settings, even in radical Islamic settings and others, to try to bring the gospel and to try to bring the message of peace and reconciliation. But he does not compromise or bow down to unrighteousness, and that to me epitomizes our calling as believers. Pat, before the break, you were talking about something that you heard me mention with Pastor Richard Wurmbrand. His book, Tortured for Christ, was one of the most translated books of the 20th century. At one point, I read it was the most translated book, and he told me privately, as an old man in his 80s at that point, that Tortured for Christ was the most translated religious book of the 20th century, but Agatha Christie novels were more translated than his book. But here's a man that suffered unspeakable punishment, preserved just by God's grace, 14 torturous years in Romanian communist prisons, 3 years in solitary confinement. The only face he saw for 3 years was the face of his torturers. Unspeakable suffering, yet emerged from it, as his wife Sabina did, from a slave labor camp, to continue to be extraordinary witnesses for Jesus and to sound alarms because they had seen what communism did and the incredible destruction it brought on so many tens of millions of lives. You were recalling something that Pastor Wurmbrand had said. So back to you, Pat.
Well, he mentioned when prayer was taken out of the public schools and speaking to the Christian community, he said, "Why did you listen? Why did you just acquiesce? Why did you give in?" We are now, in many ways, in a deeper place than that, because as horrible as that decision was in 1962, it removed something. It did not force someone to do something. And we are now, I think, at an apple-and-apple comparison, really, with Daniel chapter 3, where Nebuchadnezzar and the leaders, a golden statue was erected to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, and of course, everyone was ordered to bow down before that golden idol, that golden image, and if they didn't, they would be thrown into a fiery furnace. Of course, the three Hebrew children refused to bow down and refused to compromise, and God preserved and protected them. Although it's wonderful, their commitment was, "God, you're willing, you're able, but even if you don't, we are not going to bow down." Mike, we are at a moment right now in American history at that place. We are at a place where we now are being ordered, if you will, to bow down at the altar of these HHS mandates. We are being ordered to make certain provisions. We are being commanded, if you will, mandates, a politically correct word for coerced or forced. We are also, if the president's health care legislation holds through the next election cycle, will be forced to subsidize abortions, and there's a dollar surcharge in the health care. So we will actually be paying. We will be forced to pay for abortions. And the time has come now where we must speak. We must stand. Or will generations look back at us, will our children and grandchildren look back at us and cry out, "Why didn't you stand when you had an opportunity?"
Yep. All right, we come back. I want to talk about what happened to Justice Roberts and then ask Pat Mahoney, what can we do? What can we do?
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Coming your way live here on the 4th of July, my special guest, Reverend Pat Mahoney. By the way, all of you that want to stand with us, want to sow into the ministry work that we're doing, want to help us with this radio broadcast and the outreaches that come out of it literally around the world and to the Jewish people everywhere. Our team is not working today on July 4th to take your calls, but please write to us through our website, askdrbrown.org. Askdrbrown.org. You can donate on the homepage or become a torchbearer, monthly supporter. And let me give you a number to call. Maybe you're a business person. Maybe you want to sow some substantial funds into the show, but you really want to talk to someone and find out how we operate, where funds go. Here's the number to call, 704-782-3760. Just leave us your information, and we'll get back to you, 704-782-3760. That's if you feel you want to sow into the ministry here in a substantial way, but really want to talk to someone more, find out what we do, how we operate, where the funds go. Hey, we're an open book here. In fact, that's one of our joys, to be able to pour money into outreach rather than keep it in our own pockets or within this building. 866-34-TRUTH, if you have a question for my guest, Reverend Pat Mahoney of the Christian Defense Coalition. Pat, people hear that name, Christian Defense Coalition. Then you talk about an event, being in front of the White House and risking potential arrest. Explain to our listeners who don't know you and may not know me what you do not mean and what you are not advocating.
Well, first of all, as Christians, we are to be the most peaceful, obedient, civic-minded people in a nation. God tells us to respect authority, tells us to honor authority, tells us to submit to those in authority. However, in Scripture, there are three provisions where we can resist civil authority. One, to save the life of another individual, like in Exodus chapter 2 with Moses. Two, when civil authority commands us to do evil, the Hebrew children resisted and did not bow down. And, of course, Daniel chapter 6, Daniel did the same. And when we are forbidden to do good, like preaching the gospel in Acts 5:29, the apostles shared the gospel. They were forbidden to do so. And the name of this project we're putting together, Acts 5:29, they said we must obey God rather than man. So we are to be peaceful, we are to be prayerful, but we are to be prophetic. Esther went into the king against the law. She didn't have the right to do that, and she said in Esther 4:16, if I perish, I perish. Ezekiel talks to us about being watchmen on the wall. John the Baptist confronted Herod and said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And so there is a prophetic arm to the church, one which, frankly, we have not seen as much. And that arm is to stand for the eternal principles of God and human rights and justice, but we must always do it in a humble way, not in a militant way. I always say, not with clenched fists, but on bended knee. And that's what we have to do with President Obama. We are going to him September 29th to October 2nd. And your listeners, you said, what can we do? You can look at Acts5FIVE29.com, Acts5FIVE29.com. And we are going to go to the president, like the three Hebrew children, and tell the president, we will not comply. We will not bow down. We will not surrender our religious liberties. And Mike, history has taught us the greatest prophetic firewall against tyranny and oppression is an active, engaged church. And history has also taught us that every time the church is silent and apathetic and indifferent or has no public witness at all, there's a common theme, and that's mass graves. So the church is to act, if you will, from the Sermon on the Mount, as salt and light. And we have this unique calling. But everything we do, God is perhaps more interested in how we do something than what we do. And we have to make sure that there are no seeds of rebellion or militancy or anger or bitterness. There have been some wonderful political movements over the past few years that have been great and well-meaning and well-intended, but a bit harsh. That's not what we are to be. We are to be humble before our Lord in repentance, crying out for revival and spiritual awakening, but standing boldly as a prophetic witness. And that's what we're doing with Acts 5:29. Because if the church does not stand on this, I've been in D.C. 29 years, been in ordained ministry 35 years. We risk losing religious liberty and freedom and the church being silenced as a voice in the public square. So we must stand. We must be bold. We must be prophetic. And we believe this is the season for that surrounding the president's health care legislation.
All right. I do want to get to the question of Chief Justice Roberts, but let me throw this in, Pat. I have an article that goes back to earlier this year. It was just sent to my attention a few days ago, but it goes back to February, and it was BBC News. And you know the spiritual climate, what's taking place in England. According to surveys I've read, only 37% of folks in the UK said they've always believed in God, as opposed to a percentage, well over double that here in the United States, or right around double that. Liberties in many ways are taken away. There was a Christian group that was using a school for their meetings, public school, and they were handing out tracts, inviting people to the meetings, and the tracts had lots of scriptures, and the fruit of the Spirit is this, and repent and turn to the Lord, and hear the promises of the Lord, and Sermon on the Mount, and 1 Corinthians 6, people who live certain ways will not inherit the kingdom of God. And in that list, mentioned homosexual practice, and there's an outcry and an outrage, and now they can't use the school anymore. How dare they give out this homophobic scripture? Okay, that's that story, very recent. But this story from February, a Christian group has been banned from claiming that God can heal illnesses on its website and in leaflets. The Advertising Standards Authority said it had concluded that the adverts by Healing on the Streets in Bath, England, were misleading. It said a leaflet available to download from the group's website said, "Need healing? God can heal today." And this is the vision of this ministry was to promote Christian healing as a daily lifestyle for every believer. And the leaflet read, "Need healing? God can heal today. Do you suffer from back pain, arthritis, MS, addiction, ulcers, depression, allergies, fibromyalgia, asthma, paralysis, crippling disease, phobia, sleeping disorders, or any other sickness? We'd love to pray for your healing right now. We're Christians from churches in Bath, and we pray in the name of Jesus. We believe that God loves you and can heal you from any sickness." So it said, we want to pray, and God can heal you. And there was a complaint, and they were told that they were encouraging false hope and were irresponsible, and banned from using these adverts. Pat, is this the kind of thing we can expect in America if we cave in here and lose our liberties in this case, or are they completely unrelated, and is this just like a cheap scare tactic I'm using?
No, not at all, Mike. In fact, that is the way that we're going, and we're already here. We have this pastor in Arizona who had Bible studies in his home, who's now facing a jail sentence. We've had people who have gone to jail for certain things, sharing the gospel on public sidewalks and other things. Granted, for right now, they are the exception rather than the rule. But Mike, that's where we're going. History does repeat itself. History does give us an example. And if we look at other nations, and we look at other countries, if the church does not stand right now, again, you have the government of the United States telling the largest Christian denomination in the world how they are to practice their faith, what they must do. If this is allowed to stand, again, I'm not one for giving hyperbole. We do not send out information, the sky is falling. I deplore that kind of hype. I deplore it in Christian circles in promoting events that aren't really what they are purported to be. But this is extremely serious, the most serious assault yet, Mike. That's what we are looking at. And we're especially looking at it right now within healthcare and in the area of how the church views same-sex marriage. Homeschoolers, we've already seen what curriculum, proposed curriculum in California. These are serious issues, serious threats. And here's what happens, the old famous Martin Niemoller quote. It begins on the outside edges. So people say, well, I'm not a Catholic, so I don't have those kinds of views, or I'm not out on the streets, or I'm not home educating my children, or I'm not doing this. Brothers and sisters,
it's coming our way. It's coming our way. Yeah, hey, Pat.
It is.
Got a break here. Go to this website, friends, Acts 529. So that's Acts, like the book of Acts, F-I-V-E. Acts 5 and the number 29. Acts529.com.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I've got a few more minutes with Reverend Pat Mahoney of the Christian Defense Coalition. I'm looking at the website, Acts 529. So that's F-I-V-E spelled out, and then the number 29, Acts529.com. A call to action, September 29th through October 2nd, regarding the healthcare bill and its assault on religious liberties. For those just tuning in, this is not a Democrat-Republican issue. This is not even a question of the larger issue of healthcare and universal mandate. It has to do with specific provisions in the bill that would mandate religious organizations, beginning with the Catholic Church, to violate their conscience. Would mandate it. If you don't do it, you're breaking the law. That is as serious as it gets. Pat, we just have a couple minutes left, but could you give me your educated opinion, if you feel free to do this, on what happened to Chief Justice Roberts? Because the decision was so stunning. I've read that the four other conservative justices basically wouldn't even work with him, and of course wrote their whole opinion as if they were writing the majority opinion, and the majority opinion was the dissenting opinion. Do you have some insight that you feel is worth sharing with us?
Well, if I did, I would be making the big bucks as a commentator. Here's what I will say and what I do know. We were out there last Monday. I had to do a week-long youth leadership conference in California. So I was out there Monday, June 25th. The decision came out that Thursday. When I left, we have a very good contact inside the Supreme Court. And when I left, we were told that Chief Justice John Roberts was writing the majority opinion. We were thrilled. We were thinking, this is incredible. This is wonderful. This is amazing. You know, Chief Justice John Roberts, a little history. We helped lead the efforts to get Chief Justice John Roberts confirmed. We led massive prayer vigils, lobbying efforts. So I can't tell you, as we sat with 70 emerging leaders in Vanguard University in Costa Mesa, California, and we saw the decision, we were stunned, we were shocked. I will say this, I've met Chief Justice Roberts a number of times. I believe him to be a man of integrity. There's all kinds of things floating around. He caved in to the media. He originally voted with the four dissenters and then changed his mind afterward as he thought about it. The list goes on and on. Some even hardline conservatives are saying he deliberately did it to create tension in the election and created a path with the Commerce Clause. It gets very complicated. It was a 193-page opinion. Mike, here's what I think we need to pray for. I'm still willing to believe that Justice Roberts just disagreed, didn't see it quite like the other four justices. I think what we need to pray for, however, he's a young man, he's a brilliant man, that this is not a turning in him. And we have seen this before. We have seen justices like Sandra Day O'Connor and others, Chief Justice Warren, who came in under the guise of one way and then turned. Let's just hope that this was an anomaly. Let's just pray, because I cannot tell you, you are going to see in this upcoming election that the composition of the Supreme Court is very, very, will be very, very important. I know Reverend Rob Schenck and his brother Paul are very close with Chief Justice John Roberts, and they issued a public statement after the decision that they felt he was a man of deep principle and he just disagreed on this issue. But I don't know why he changed. D.C. is like a little backyard church full of gossip and everyone has an opinion. My only concern is that it's easy to get seduced by the trappings of power and want to be accepted and embraced and viewed as magnanimous and broad. I think we all just need to pray for Chief Justice John Roberts, and let's see some of the upcoming decisions on religious freedom and others
and
that will be happening.
And that's a word of wisdom. And in point of fact, although I've prayed for our president, I honestly am negligent in even thinking about praying for the Supreme Court. Of course, I'm praying for God's will and God's kingdom and his purposes, but we ought to be praying for the Supreme Court and for the justices to stand up for justice, to stand up for what's right. Hey, Pat. As always, it's a joy being with you. I appreciate you standing on the front lines and often putting your life at risk, as you did in Iraq and at other times, for the gospel and for peace and for righteousness. Again, for those that would like to do something on a spiritual level and on a righteousness level regarding the Supreme Court's affirmation of Obamacare, again, in terms of its threat to religious liberties, Acts 5, so spell out F-I-V-E, Acts 5, number 29, Acts 5, 29.com. Pat, look forward to seeing you soon in D.C. or somewhere else.
Blessings, Mike. Thank you. Happy 4th.
All right. Happy 4th. All right, friends, a couple things quickly before we are out of time here. For those that are brand new listeners to The Line of Fire, this is a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity coming your way 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, although different parts of the country may get 1 hour, even a half hour of the broadcast. But you can catch all shows archived for free on the website. You don't have to become a member or pay a certain fee to take advantage of these. We are blessed by supporters and those standing with us, and they enable us to do these things. So all the previous shows, this is several years of daily radio, archived for you at AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. And if you've never been to our website, AskDrBrown.org, explore the site. There are hundreds and hundreds of free hours of material. They're probably into the thousands now, audios, videos, and then articles to read. For those of you that have appreciated the voice that we've sounded on moral and cultural issues, which is part of what we talk about on the show, we focus on Israel as well. We've got a very important show about the Mideast tomorrow. We take all your Bible-related questions on different days. We open up the Word and get into theology, apologetics, as well as focus on the world, moral, cultural issues. But I have an ebook. It's only $5.99, an ebook you can download. And if you are an Amazon Prime subscriber, you can actually borrow it for a month for free. It's called In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. So just go to Amazon.com and you can order it there. In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. You can download it to any e-reader you have or your smartphone. And for those that are able to stand with us, we really do have urgent needs. If I shared with you how urgent they were, you'd probably pick up the phone right now and make a call and give a credit card donation or send in a check. I just trust the Holy Spirit to speak as we make these needs known. We've done a massive national expansion in the last year and a half. The fruit is remarkable and breathtaking and joyful, but the pressure is great as well, especially in these early years of expansion. So we don't have our team to take calls today because it's the 4th, but please stand with us by going to AskDrBrown.org, making a one-time donation right on the homepage, or becoming a monthly torchbearer, AskDrBrown.org. And my gift of appreciation for your gift of any size, large or small, is my two-hour DVD debate with Professor Bart Ehrman. Does the Bible provide an adequate answer to the problem of suffering? My bottom line today, I have often quoted the words of the courageous German leader, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who said, "The ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world that it leaves to its children." On this 4th of July, what kind of world are we leaving to our children and grandchildren? We are coming your way live today, and I want to share some amazing things with you from the website of Hobby Lobby.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, welcome to the broadcast on this 4th of July. Yeah, we're live. I'm sitting here right now, live in my office. This is not pre-recorded. It is a 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and I'm delighted to be with you. We had the opportunity to be live today. I'd much prefer that to having to pre-record a show. And we get to speak to people that don't get to hear us normally. So if you're a first-time listener to the broadcast, welcome to The Line of Fire. And when we say at the outset, the announcer says, your voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. We absolutely mean that. We absolutely mean that. Oh, not a worldly revolution, not guns and knives and anger and intimidation and hatred and brute force. No, no, no. The Jesus kind of revolution, where he so radically changes us that we, touched by him, go and change our world. Almost 41 years ago now, Jesus radically changed my world, reached down and touched me when I was a heroin-shooting, LSD-using, rebellious teenage Jewish rock drummer, 16 years old, radically born again. There was a revolution in my life. And by God's grace, I want to bring that revolution to every aspect of our society. How? Through the gospel. I've got a bunch of things I want to talk to you about today. However, if you want to raise just about any question, make any statement, interact with me, here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you listen regularly, maybe, I don't know, to get your blood boiling, just, you know, the moment you hear that music at the beginning of the show, you're like, ugh, your teeth grinding and you're upset, and, well, give me a call, tell me why. I'm glad you're listening. I'm glad you're listening. I was thrilled to get an email the other day from a new listener, a woman who identified herself as an atheist, who's listening by podcast, which means it's not just that she's flipping around the dial in her car and she's got nothing to do on a long drive that she happens upon the show, but she's going out of her way to listen by podcast. How wonderful to know that someone who fundamentally differs with me in matters of spirituality and faith is tuning in and listening. So I've got literally a stack of things I want to talk about with you today. Some really fascinating stuff with Hobby Lobby. Now, I don't think I've ever been into the store. Into a Hobby Lobby store. But I know Nancy, for those just tuning in, my wonderful bride of 36 plus years, I know Nancy really loves the store and gets a lot of neat items for the house from the store. I was speaking in California over the weekend, Fontana, California, and she sent me an email and she said, look at the homepage of Hobby Lobby. Obviously coming up to the 4th of July, look at the homepage. And there in big print on the screen, just, I mean, basically took up the screen, in God we trust. In God we trust. So she sent them a note of appreciation, just thanking them for unashamedly putting that on the homepage. Here's what they wrote back to her. We would like to thank you so much for your comments about In God We Trust. The Green family, David Green, the CEO of the company, whom I'll talk about in a moment, appreciates any and all feedback. If you would like to view our past message ads, they may be found on our website, and then they give the links. So these are ads. Some they've taken out full-page newspapers for Christmas or Easter season or July 4th. And they say, Hobby Lobby stores, on behalf of the Green family, this is what you get when you write thanking them, right? It is their sincere prayer that all would be touched by the gift of salvation that Christ has so freely given to us. Wow. So I want to tell you more about Hobby Lobby. I want to talk to you about Chick-fil-A. And then I want to talk to you about where some of the biggest companies in America, I'm talking about Microsoft and Apple and Starbucks, Amazon, putting their money. We'll be back. Came to the world.
cleansing flame. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, check this out. Some recent news that I think is of interest to us as consumers. Michael Brown, welcome back to the Line of Fire broadcast. We're coming away live this July 4th, Independence Day, and I wish you and your families a blessed 4th of July in the Lord. And from the bottom of my heart, thank you to those who have been responding to our appeal this week, as we've just laid out for you very realistically. Major needs we have, major radio obligations. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for responding. I came into the office today. The office building basically shut down from whence I broadcast because of the holiday. And for those who don't know our whole operation, we're actually, this is put together in several different locations to make things happen here, Winston-Salem, Dallas, and that's how it goes across the country and around the world. But things real quiet in here, and I noticed, though, in the adjoining office where some of our staff helps out, that there was a stack of books to sign for new torchbearers. We send out a surprise gift to our new torchbearers, and it always warms my heart to see it. It's like, yes, come on. One thing, I love to send these books out because I know they have an impact. I know when people get them and read them that their lives are impacted. So as an author, put your heart and soul into what you write. The greatest anointing I ever experienced in my life is when I'm writing targeted things for the Lord. So that thrills me. And then all these new names, I look at it with a smile. Wow, praise God, all these new people standing with us on a monthly basis, which means we can reach more people. That's what I live for. Trust me, the stack of monthly supporter books could fill the entire building here. So I'd be signing for 3 months straight because there's so many books. And all it means is we can reach more people. Doesn't mean I get to put more money in my pocket or my staff gets rich. It means we get to reach more people, which is so awesome. So thank you, those who responded. And if you'd like to talk to me about anything today, here's the number to call, 866-348-7884. Okay. Huffington Post reports Bill Gates, Microsoft founder, Steve Ballmer, Microsoft CEO, each donate $100,000 for marriage equality. Meaning what? Meaning that they're each donating $100,000 to redefine marriage in Washington State to make marriage genderless, to say marriage is the union of any two people as opposed to union of a man or a woman. Now, with the money they have to give this person, especially Gates, that would probably be like you or me putting $10 in the offering, I imagine, with the amount of money they have. But it's the statement that's the biggest thing. So they've each written $100,000 checks to Washington United for Marriage, a same-sex marriage advocacy group based in Seattle. In February, Washington Governor Chris Gregor signed a bill legalizing same-sex marriage. Really shouldn't be called marriage, but I'm just reading the quote here. In the state, and the law was to go into effect on June 7th, but that was put on hold last month when opponents gathered enough signatures to put the bill up for referendum in the November general election, meaning that the people of Washington will be voting on it. A Microsoft spokesperson told the Huffington Post that the company doesn't comment on political contributions made by employees, including the CEO. Those are personal decisions, and we respect them as such. Gates and Ballmer aren't the only high-profile members of the technology community to make significant contributions for marriage equality, so-called marriage equality. Chris Hughes, a co-founder of Facebook and the editor-in-chief of The New Republic, promised Mainers United for Marriage, so people of Maine United for Marriage, that if the campaign raised more than $100,000, he and his husband. So the co-founder of Facebook, Chris Hughes, is, quote, married to a man. You know, some of the issues we've had with Facebook censorship in recent weeks. Chris Hughes and his now, quote, husband, Sean Eldridge, would match the donation, according to the Bangor Daily News. Well, they've raised $120,000, so they're supposed to match it. Other companies that have actively come out on behalf of redefining marriage in Washington State include Starbucks, Microsoft. Some of your Starbucks, like you're putting down the cup of coffee, and I was like, ooh, Microsoft, hang on. I've got a Microsoft computer here, and I'm doing this show looking at the screen for callers and other things on internet in front of me. that's Microsoft operated. Nike, I don't have Nike sneakers on at least, but I am wearing sneakers. Amazon, oh, come on, I do business with Amazon constantly, and I found them to be fair in dealing with them on issues, and right now I'm using Amazon to get a message out of a moral and cultural revolution through the gospel. But Amazon, Levi's, not wearing Levi jeans right now. American Apparel, they have an ad saying legalize gay. Apple. So if you think, well, I won't use Microsoft code. Well, Apple. Google. Google is Android. And the operating system on my phone. Home Depot. At least that's not an issue to me. Macy's. These are all major companies that are putting bucks into and actively supporting redefining marriage in Washington State. And then some of you may have seen last week? An ad. Well, it's just a page put up online. It wasn't used as an ad yet, but reflecting the diversity policies, so-called diversity policies, which means gay activism only and dissenting views not welcome. Kraft had a rainbow Oreo cookie supporting, quote, gay rights. And they said this reflects our values. Oreos, Kraft. Just go into the grocery store and start getting your items and throwing them into your cart. And look at how many are made by Kraft. Now, when these companies do this, they are commended. They are praised. They are spoken of in the highest terms. What about Chick-fil-A? And I'm going to come back to Hobby Lobby. I'm going to read some amazing quotes to you from the Hobby Lobby website. Unashamedly Christian, unashamedly gospel-based. Okay, Chick-fil-A donates $2 million to anti-gay groups. This is a story on advocate.com, the flagship gay publication. Originally published on advocate.com July 2nd, 2012. An analysis of charitable donations by Chick-fil-A shows the fast food chain gave nearly $2 million to anti-gay groups in 2010. Windshape, Chick-fil-A's official charitable arm, has donated $1.9 million to Exodus International, which helps people with unwanted same-sex attractions. The National Christian Foundation. Uh-oh, get this. The Fellowship of Christian Athletes. The Family Research Council, and the Marriage and Family Foundation, and the Georgia Family Council. The largest donation, $1.1 million, went to the Marriage and Family Foundation, an anti-gay marriage organization that raises money for the Marriage Commission. The latter group was created in response to the downward spiral of marriage in the traditional family in America. Chick-fil-A is giving to that because they always want to support marriage and family. That's one of their core values. They're blasted for it. Here are some of the responses. Here are some of the comments on the Advocate website. Still don't understand how Christian businesses can afford not to follow Jesus' message of kindness and love. They are so misguided and ignorant. I'm just going to read these. Trust me, I want to comment on everyone. I'm just going to read them. Let's just boycott them indefinitely. They're never going to change their belligerent attitude toward gays. I would rather starve than ever have anything to do with them ever again. It bothers me that instead of feeding the public, they take their money and help fight equality. They are not humans. They're a big fan of quashing women's reproductive rights as well, which is another reason why I would rather ingest a mixture of broken glass and cat expletive than ever put that unpalatable puke in my mouth. Expletive. These Christian fundamentalists and all fundamentalists, they are the nothing but the American Taliban. Friends, this is one reason we are on the air. This is one reason we are sounding the alarm. This is one reason we are speaking as clearly as we are speaking. Because when you simply say, yeah, we stand for marriage. Yeah, marriage, the union of a man and woman, and connecting kids to a mom and dad. Yeah, that's what we believe in. That's the way it's always been. And if two men are committed to each other, or two women or whatever, if they're not breaking the law, that's between them and God, but let's not redefine marriage. You're a bigot. You're a Taliban. You're not even human. Oh, wow. And all these companies giving to redefine marriage are heroic and courageous and tolerant and broad-minded and the very example of what the American spirit should be. Whereas these companies like Chick-fil-A and maybe even more overtly Hobby Lobby aren't even human. American Taliban. Friends, that's why we sound the alarm. 866-34-TRUTH. Say, what do we do? First, let's get awakened in spirit and let's search our own lives and say, am I really living for God? Am I making a difference? If all other believers were like me, what would America look like? How's that for a question? All right, we'll be back with some phone calls and then more on Hobby Lobby. Stay with us.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are live here today, July 4th, on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. Very, very important first hour, talking about the implications of Obamacare and the Health and Human Services provisions as it relates to religious freedom. My friend Pat Mahoney joined me. That show will be on line later today or else tomorrow, depending on any potential delays because of the 4th of July. And AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. If you want to talk to me about anything, I'm game to talk about just about anything today, but we're focusing on some Christian companies standing for righteousness, the example they set, and these other massive companies who have a very different agenda. How do we respond? What does this mean to us? And a simple question to consider: if every believer in America lived like you lived, what would the church look like? What would the society look like? Now, God forbid every believer in America was like me, or like you, for that matter. We need the diversity. We need the differences. If the entire body was a mouth or an ear or a thumb or a toe or a knee or a heart, it couldn't function. We understand that. But I'm talking about level of commitment. I'm talking about level of devotion to the Lord. I'm talking about witness. I'm talking about lifestyle. If every believer in America lived like you, what would the church look like? What would the society look like? Okay, before I go to the phones, I've got a serious undertaking after the show today. It's 4th of July, and I'm scheduled to spend some time with my son-in-law, Ryan, who, with his wife, our daughter, Meg, and their two grandkids live right here. And then we've got another daughter and her husband and two grandkids right outside of D.C., but I'm scheduled to spend some time with Ryan and Andrew, who's 8, and Feisty. And we may play some miniature golf. And I don't think I can beat Ryan. But I want to take down Andrew. I want to beat Andrew in miniature golf today. He's 8. But I think I can do it if I'm on top of my game. And I haven't played in several years. So I'm not asking you to pray for me. But I'll give you a report tomorrow. That is, if I do well. All right. Before we talk more about Hobby Lobby and share some amazing quotes with you, I want to take a phone call. Joe in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, thank you so much for what you do out there. How are you doing today?
I'm blessed, man, and it's my joy. Thank you, Joe.
Well, I just wanted to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't tell you how lonely, even though North Carolina is in the Bible Belt, and I know I've heard your testimony about Stu Epperson, good man of God, but how lonely it gets in the battle we're in here with just secular humanists who are screaming and yelling. We just had a vote here with Amendment 1, and which was, of course, marriage between one man and one woman. And just the bias that the paper, even though 61% of the citizens voted in favor of it, just the hatred that we've experienced as believers in our own mainline denominations. And I'd just like to say, sometimes, even though we're in the Bible Belt, don't take it for granted. We get lonely. And you are just such, when I say thank you so much, because you truly exhort and build us up. And I'd just like you for you to continue to pray for North Carolina, because there's a real war going on here. People don't understand it, but the Research Triangle part, we have, I think, the second highest concentration of PhDs and masters, which there's nothing wrong for, but many of those people are secular, and they truly hate the gospel. So thank you, thank you, thank you for so much for what you do. And just remember that we have believers over here who are truly lonely, and we need your prayers. And I'm going to hang up and listen to what you have to say. God bless you, brother.
I bless you, Joe. Thank you, sir, so much. What Joe just said articulates a major reason that we're on the air. We are a voice for you, as I am able to sit behind this microphone. And it was underscored to me today, coming in on July 4th with the office building from which I broadcast just about totally empty. I was reminded again how just sitting here, just me, in this room, this part of the room by myself, how many people I can speak to all around America and all around the world. And the sacredness of that responsibility and the awesomeness of the privilege, it is a joyful privilege to me as well as a sober responsibility. But I want to be your voice. No, I don't mean send me all your opinions and I'll put it together in one glob and get it out. I mean that by God's grace, I'm standing up for you, that frustrations you have and burdens you have and things you want to articulate, we can go to the Lord and we can get his wisdom and I can speak and you can cheer me on. Have you ever watched a debate or some newscast or something and the opponent saying something and you're a guy or you're a gal, it's their turn and you're thinking of all the answers. I'm a debater, you know, so I'm always thinking this. My wife, Nancy, too, we're thinking like this. Ah, you could cut this down. This was wrong. Could have said this better. Here's the obvious answer. And then the other person gets on and they don't say it. They don't say the obvious. They don't say what you needed them to say for whatever reason didn't come to their mind or it was too controversial. And you're like, oh. On the flip side, somebody nails it like, yes, yes, that's what I wanted said. So by God's grace, that's what we're doing. Whether it's opening up the scriptures, whether it's calling believers deeper in God, whether it's standing for righteousness, whether it is exalting Jesus in the public square, whether it's standing in the midst of controversy for that which is right and that which is true, whether it's refusing to back down and compromise, I want to be a voice for you and tackle these issues. We do it in writing, too. We write regular articles and books that tackle the controversial issues and go out and preach and teach. But the focus every day is radio and all the people we can speak to. So by God's grace, we are your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. We are your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. Now, that being said, I know that there is the feeling in North Carolina, which has been our home now for the last 9+ years, or just going on 9 years now, I know there is the feeling that the, quote, elites reject the message, and the elites know better, and the elites have these different standards. And I've written about that. I wrote articles about the embarrassed elites of North Carolina after the election and after the referendum to amend the Constitution to recognize marriage as the union of man and woman only. But that being said, Joe, there are also brilliant professors, scientists, PhDs, educators, and others in all sectors of society, wealthy businessmen, influential, highly educated as well, who are standing for righteousness too. So even though it may be a minority there, or we get the feeling of it, there are often more standing out there than we know, but it's my joy and privilege to be on the front line. So thank you, Joe, for that call. Just another reminder, another encouragement to do what we're doing. Again, we do need your help, friends. This is listener-supported radio, and we really are in an urgent time together right now. So would you stand with us? We're not taking calls today at our call center because of the holiday, but write to us through the website, askdrbrown.org. Askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, your contribution, you can make there a one-time donation or become a monthly torchbearer, and we'll send you a special gift of appreciation, my two-hour debate with Professor Bart Ehrman on the Bible and the problem of suffering. Back with some bone-rattling news.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on this 4th of July. And we are coming your way live. Yes, live on the 4th. So let me wish you a blessed and happy 4th of July. And I've decided to focus on this 4th of July on some Christian businesses, Hobby Lobby in particular, that have stood for righteousness unashamedly, in contrast with so many of the big companies that are on the wrong side of the great moral issues of today. And I'm going to read some quotes from the Hobby Lobby website from their message, In God We Trust. And check this out when you click on the particular link, In God We Trust, and it gives you messages from the founding fathers and presidents and so on. At the bottom, if you would like to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, call Need Him Ministry, and then it gives the number 1-888-NEED-HIM. Isn't that remarkable? Unashamed. If you'd like to talk to me about anything today, I'm not taking a lot of calls, but you got something on your mind you want to talk to me about or you disagree with me? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And thank you again to all of you who stood with us, sent in contributions through the website, called in. How deeply blessed and appreciative I am. I really can't express my depth of appreciation for those standing with us, especially those doing it sacrificially in faith, because you realize the importance of this broadcast. I've got some very, very, very edifying quotes and edifying truth about Hobby Lobby, one of my wife's favorite stores, maybe Nancy's favorite store. She told me the other day that so many of the items in our house are from Hobby Lobby. I don't know that I've been in the store. Sorry to say. It's not a Jewish or Semitic bookstore, and they don't sell, you know, latest computer gadgets. It's about the only stuff I'll get in the store. So, but check this out. Nancy sends me a link the other day when I was ministering in California, that on their homepage, you click on it, and In God We Trust. And they have been putting out special messages, not just on their homepage, but say at Christmas or Easter or Independence Day, they'll also take out full-page ads in major newspapers all over America with an overt Christian message from Hobby Lobby. And when she wrote to them expressing appreciation, they wrote back very graciously. I'm sure it's a standard message, but in it saying that it's the prayer of the Green family, David Green and his family. David's the CEO, founder and CEO of the company, that people will find salvation in Christ. That's what they write. And here, In God We Trust, presidents, George Washington, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. John Adams, signer of the Declaration of Independence, one of two signers of the Bill of Rights, second president of the United States, quote, we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. James Madison, signer of the Constitution, fourth president of the United States. Before any man can be considered as a member of civil society, he must be considered as a subject of the governor of the universe. John Quincy Adams, statesman, diplomat, sixth president of the United States. It is not that in the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior, that it forms a leading event in the progress of the gospel dispensation? Is it not that the Declaration of Independence first organized the social compact of the foundation of the Redeemer's mission upon earth, that it laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity? Whoa, amazing. This is in conjunction with Wall Builders, these quotes. But when we come back, I want to let you know a couple things going on in society today and ask you, is this what the founders were after? And then tell you some of the secrets to the success of Hobby Lobby on this 4th of July.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you, friends, for joining us on the 4th of July. Coming away live, one, I prefer it, love doing live radio. That's why I do it 10 hours a week minimum. And better to do that than pre-record a show if I don't have to. We had our engineering and phone answering staff ready to go today. So we're here live. If you'd like to call, 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. And I want to encourage you, and my wife Nancy wants to encourage you, to go to the Hobby Lobby website, hobbylobby.com, and thank them for their overt Christian stand. Thank them for their unashamed Christian stand. Thank them for their desire to see others come to Jesus. And if you have a choice, shop at their stores. They've got great stuff from what I understand. And according to Nancy, a lot of the stuff in our house is from Hobby Lobby. Good place to shop. Now, let me give you some context, all right? Mentioned this in the last half hour, but let me repeat it. Major companies that have come out in favor of redefining marriage in the state of California publicly come out to do this, and some given some large sums of money, include Starbucks, Microsoft, Nike, Amazon, Levi's, American Apparel, Apple, Google, Home Depot, Macy's. Mm-hmm. At the same, and they're commended for it. How wonderful. How wonderful. At the same time, an article about Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, which closes on Sundays because of its Christian background and principles, even though many would say Sundays per hour is the most lucrative time of the week, they've closed on Sundays always. You can go into their stores. They often have Christian music playing. I've been to a number of Chick-fil-A's in different parts of the country and always found the folks there, the staff, to be unusually pleasant, helpful, thank you, et cetera, responding in gracious ways, reflecting their Christian values as well. Well, they donate money to groups that stand for marriage, and they get blasted for it. They get blasted because they donate to groups that stand for strengthening marriages, strengthening families, and at the same time stand against redefining marriage and family. So here are some responses on a gay website which had an article about the $2 million total that they had donated to, quote, anti-gay groups. $1.1 million went to the Marriage and Family Foundation, which is part of the, it raises money for the Marriage Commission. The latter group was created in response to the downward spiral of marriage and the traditional family in America. Chick-fil-A gives to them. I'm glad they do. And here are some of the responses on the gay website. I would rather starve than ever have anything to do with them ever again. It bothers me that instead of feeding the public, they take their money and help fight equality. They are not humans. Oh, it's fascinating. Microsoft had a statement that when Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer, the Microsoft founder and the CEO, each donated $100,000 to redefine marriage in the state of Washington. Just personally, Microsoft said these are personal decisions. We respect them as such. Okay. I wonder what Microsoft would say if one of their employees gave $100,000 to stand up for marriage, to say marriage is the union of a man and woman. Just wondering. Here's another comment about Chick-fil-A. They're a big fan of quashing women's reproductive rights as well. In other words, they're pro-life, which is another reason why I would rather ingest a mixture of broken glass and cat expletive than ever put that unpalatable puke in my mouth. Blank these Christian fundamentalists and all fundamentalists. They are nothing but the American Taliban. Now, that's some of what we're dealing with, friends, when we just say, you know, marriage is the union of a man and woman, or, you know, that baby in the womb is actually a person that should be cared for and nurtured, not killed. All right, so I wonder, in light of some of these quotes that are on the Hobby Lobby website, on the link to In God We Trust, I wonder, in light of some of these quotes, if this is what our founding fathers expected. Oh, let's see. John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, the Bible is the best of all books, for it is the Word of God, and teaches us the way to be happy in this world and in the next. Continue, therefore, to read it and to regulate your life by its precepts. Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Wow. House Judiciary Report for the Congress, March 27, 1854. At the time of the adoption of the Constitution and the amendments, the universal sentiment was that Christianity should be encouraged In this age, there can be no substitute for Christianity. That was the religion of the founders of the Republic, and they expect it to remain the religion of their descendants. Isn't this fascinating? Isn't this fascinating? Now, here's a report from Good Morning America. It's getting a bit more play, but not as much as you'd expect. My three daddies. California eyes multiple parenting law. California, the battleground state for the arguments for and against same-sex marriage, is now considering an unconventional law that would allow children to be legally granted more than two parents. Look, a book came out a few years back, Oh, the Things Mommies Do, What Could Be Better Than Having Two? And I responded sarcastically, and I have this in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and the chapter on children's education. If you don't have the book, get it. Get it immediately. You won't find it at your bookstore. It's too hot to handle. Go online and order it. So this book was entitled, Oh, the Things Mommies Do, What Could Be Better Than Having Two? And I said, how about this new book? I just made it up. My mommies bring me so much glee. What could be better than having three? Well, this bill, SB 1476, would apply equally to men and women into homosexual or heterosexual relationships, proposed by State Senator Mark Leno, openly gay, responsible for some of the most radical gay activist bills in American history. It's proposed by him. It's passed the Senate and awaits an assembly vote. He says the bill brings California into the 21st century, recognizing that there are more than Ozzie and Harriet families today. Leno told ABC News that he recognized a problem in the legal system in 2011 when an appellate court placed a girl in foster care when her legally married parents, two lesbians, could not care for her. The child was taken into state custody when one of her mothers was jailed and the non-biological mother was hospitalized. And the court did not have the authority to appoint the girl's biological father with whom she had a relationship as a legal parent. Most children have at most two parents, but some children have more than two people in their lives who have been a child's parent in every way. For example, a child raised from birth by a biological mother and a non-biological father may also have a relationship with his or her biological father. In such a situation, the child may consider both adults in the home to be parents as well as his or her biological father. Glenn T. Stanton, director of Global Family Formation Studies for the conservative group Focus on the Family, argues that the bill appears to advocate for children's rights, but in reality gives adults legal protection to create radical families. Of course, that's what it's about. Of course, that is what it's about. He said, we hear all the celebratory talk about new families, but there's no sociological, psychological, or medical data showing any of these new family forms have served to elevate the general physical, mental, educational, or developmental well-being of children in any meaningful way. That job is best done for children by their own mother and father, and this bill would only take us farther down the trail of more experimental families that fulfill adult desires but consistently fail our children. And it goes on and on. Oh, and I wonder if the founding fathers envisioned this. U.S. researchers create 30 genetically modified human babies. U.S. fertility researchers from the Institute for Reproductive Medicine and Science of St. Barnabas, New Jersey, have created 30 healthy babies. We're talking about human beings here. We're talking about human beings. They have created 30 healthy babies who have been genetically altered. It has been confirmed that two of these children have the DNA of three parents. So there were defects in the eggs. And because of that, these eggs had mitochondria. I'm probably mispronouncing it, sorry. From donor eggs inserted into these eggs, as well as DNA from sperm cells, the mitochondria contain DNA and therefore have carried the donor DNA into the egg. The babies will now pass on this genetic change to their children down the maternal line when they reproduce. It's not known, they say, what's going to happen if a child has DNA from three parents. And in England, Lord Winston of the Hammersmith Hospital in West London told the BBC, regarding the treatment of the infertile, there is no evidence that this technique is worth doing. I'm very surprised that it was even carried out at this stage. It would certainly not be allowed in Britain, which is saying a lot. So, maybe you have three daddies. Maybe you have DNA of three people. Who would have imagined this? when our nation was founded. Patrick Henry, and this is on the Hobby Lobby and God We Trust site, an appeal to arms and to the God of hosts is all that is left us. Sir, we are not weak if we make a proper use of those means which the God of nature has placed in our power. Besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations and who will raise up friends to fight our battles for us. Of course, this was at our nation's independence. We come back. I want to take a call, and then I want to talk to you about the keys to Hobby Lobby's success as they have determined to stand for righteousness. America needs righteous companies rising up, blessed by God, standing for what is right and exalting Jesus without shame.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. We are coming your way live today on July 4th, and I want to talk to you more about Christian principles by which Hobby Lobby has operated and the blessing that God has brought upon them as they have honored Jesus and honored biblical principles and put the Lord first. Before I do that, let me grab one quick call. Jenny in Phoenix, Arizona, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello, you're on the air.
Okay. I've been wondering about something for quite a while. I have a few Catholic friends, and they're convinced that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Where did they get that idea?
If you'll go through the Gospels, you'll see that there are several Marys. Actually, Miriam would have been the Hebrew name. We say Mary in English. But several of these Jewish women named Miriam, there's Miriam Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's Miriam Mary of Magdala. And there's also reference to another one, a woman who was a prostitute. You read about it in Luke, the 7th chapter.
Yeah, the woman taken in adultery isn't named, and that's who they're depicting as Mary Magdalene.
No, that's John 8. That's a different one. But in Luke, the 7th chapter, it makes reference to this particular woman. And because of that, there is speculation, it's been a common tradition. It's not just Catholic, but many believers from all backgrounds see that she was a prostitute whom Jesus saved. There's the reference to seven demons being driven out of Mary, Miriam. So because of that, just based on gospel evidence and early tradition, seems to be the case. But hey, what's the problem with it? In other words, Jesus is a redeemer. I was shooting heroin at the age of 15. God redeems us from all kinds of wickedness. So someone who becomes very devoted to the Lord and one of his closest followers, sure, why not someone who came out of prostitution, someone who was delivered from a sinful lifestyle? Can you say it with absolute certainty? No, but can you say it with strong likelihood? I would say yes, but keep looking at the scriptures and, of course, come to your own conclusion. But thank you. Thank you for calling. I did say that I was glad to talk about anything today. All right. This was an article that was printed by CBN.com. CBN News Finance did a piece on David Green. He's a billionaire, and he has closely followed, this came out a little over a year ago, closely followed biblical principles over the years. In 1972, the founder and CEO of the arts and crafts chain Hobby Lobby started the business with just $600. Today, or as of a year ago, he was worth, or a little over a year ago, $2.5 billion. Made him number 136 on Forbes' list of the 400 richest Americans. Wow. Can you believe there are 135 people in America with more than $2.5 billion? Amazing. From the company's humble beginnings in an Oklahoma City living room, Green now oversees close to 20,000 employees in 457 stores in 39 states. Those numbers could be higher now because that was as of January 2011. The journey to that amount, the report goes on, was draining at times, involving battles with pride and debt, but a humble and grateful Green emerged from the trials, giving all the credit to God. Quote, God has just blown us off the map, and we know that we give God the glory. This is speaking about Hobby Lobby. This is across the country, just a couple of parts in the West Coast in New England are without the arts and crafts chain, but stores would be opening in these other places soon or maybe already. Quote, there are so many decisions that we have to make that we just can't make without God, the Holy Spirit guiding us. And this has been very important for us, our family, to lean on the Holy Spirit. And his son, Mart, said for him it was always a ministry. He couldn't be a preacher, and Grandma wanted six preachers. And he wished he could have been a preacher, but that wasn't his calling. So he had to go where his gifting was, and he loved the retail business. He built his business on biblical principles. Now, the office building that we are in, right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, was built by Christian businessmen, friends of ours who started a real estate company. And when we moved to North Carolina 9 years ago, they were just getting started with no background and no money. And they've honored God, and they've prayed, and they've put him first, and they've operated on kingdom principles. And they've expanded across the nation, scores and scores of franchises, and now even internationally. And it's all ultimately a ministry for them and a platform for Jesus. David Green said this, we try to do as much as we can, especially as we have rid ourselves of any debt. We've always tithed. That's something that we've always been taught, but we've also been taught that's not giving. Giving is above what we owe God, and that is our tithe. So from his perspective, a tithe is automatic. It's the minimum 10% that is given automatically back to God, which was before the law was instituted. That's his Christian conviction. He said, but we give beyond that. They care for employees. 2010, they raised the minimum wage for full-time employees to $11 per hour, which was 52% above the federal minimum wage. And they even limit hours. It's only open till 8 p.m. Mondays through Saturday, and they're closed on Sundays. Green said it kind of frightened us when we knew God was speaking to us about closing on Sunday because it is per hour, the busiest day of the week, but we knew God wanted us to close, and in that the move has not hurt the company's bottom line. And of course, what they do with excellence before the Lord. With so many major companies going the way of gay activism, going the way of pro-abortion, going the way of even restricting employees' religious liberties in certain ways and giving others liberties that they don't give to their Christian employees, it's wonderful to hear a testimony like this. And of course, there are other such companies, but this is so prominent. So go to their website, HobbyLobby.com. Shoot them a note of appreciation. Give them your business if you have a choice to do it. And in that way, glorify the Lord and say, hey, this is something I can do. I can do it in a way that doesn't hurt me because their stuff is great and the prices are great. And I can then honor the Lord at the same time. And whoever you are, whatever business, whatever organization, whatever you're doing, live out the gospel principles and the smile of God will certainly be on you. If you're a business person listening to us, in the greater Charlotte area, we have the opportunity to be on not just this hour, 3 to 4, but both hours of our broadcast. We just need some advertising sponsors, and our the Truth Radio Network right here in greater Charlotte will kind of double that money and take the sponsorship money and put it towards our broadcasting bills. So if you want to get involved, there's no one here to take your call right now, but jot this number down or leave us a voicemail, 704-782-3760 if you're a business that wants to advertise, and they'll give you great deals and great advertising spots. 704-782-3760, or go online and just shoot us a note at info@askdrbrown.org. info@askdrbrown.org. And again, we really need to hear from as many of you as possible, but thank you to all who've called and gone to our website and made donations. Can I appeal once again? We need to hear from thousands of you, and each one, if each one does their part, small or large, every need will be met, and we'll be able to expand this broadcast onto more stations. Go to AskDrBrown.org. We can't take calls today. AskDrBrown.org to make your one-time donation or to become a monthly torchbearer. Thank you in advance, truly, from the bottom of my heart. My gift of appreciation to each of you for standing with us is the two-hour DVD of my debate with Professor Bart Ehrman. Does the Bible provide an adequate answer to the problem of suffering? My bottom line, on this 4th of July, as we look at the state of our nation, let's look in the mirror and ask ourselves a question. What would our nation look like? What would the church look like if every believer lived with the same level of commitment and devotion that you do?